Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to John's third letter, 3 John. And this morning we will be looking at the final verses of this letter, verses 11 through 15. But as we look at this letter, I'll read the letter in its entirety. It's a short letter to get the immediate context of what John is writing. So hear now the word of God. The elder, to my dear friend Aggeus, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth, and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This ends our reading of God's word. Let us once again bow in prayer as we seek his blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your truth that you have given to us and preserved throughout the ages. And Lord, as we look at these verses in 3 John, may you, Father, open up our eyes and our ears, our hearts and minds, that we may see and hear and comprehend and understand your truth. Lord, may we be doers of your word and not merely hearers only. And Lord, may you bless my mind and mouth as I proclaim your word. May I think clearly and speak boldly. And in Jesus' holy name, we ask this. Amen. I'm not sure if parents really take pleasure in this. Sometimes it seems like parents do take pleasure in this, but when your friends are around or telling the stories of your childhood, stories that maybe you would rather they not tell. I'm sure there's probably no real satisfaction they get from embarrassing you in front of your friends, but I'm not completely convinced of that. As my parents told this story of me, as they tell it, I threw one temper tantrum in my life. That's according to my parents' testimony. They had company over. I wanted to do something, and they wouldn't let me, and I was really young at this time, maybe about 3 or 4, or 4 or 5, but I don't remember the story. But as it's told, I came into the living room and flopped down on the floor and started kicking and flailing my arms, just throwing a wonderful temper tantrum for everyone to see. So what was my loving parents' response? They made fun of me. As they tell the story, they said, "Ryan, are you throwing a temper tantrum? Can we watch you?" So I hung my head in shame and embarrassed and said no, and walked off to my room. According to my parents, I learned this behavior from seeing a friend of mine get what he wanted through throwing a tantrum. His parents gave in. My parents showered me with shame. But I'm thankful that they did. For it taught me a valuable lesson, even as a young child, but The point of this story is that we learn much from imitating those around us, especially our friends, those that are close to us. We need to be careful of who we have close to us and who we watch and who we imitate. Imitating in a wrong or improper way can have devastating consequences in our lives. And this is what John is telling his dear friend Gaius in these verses this morning. As verse 11 starts, he says, "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." And so the theme that we are going to be looking at this morning is that we are to be living our lives imitating what is good. That is a theme that we will look at this morning. We are to live our lives imitating what is good. Now as we begin this morning, we're actually going to look at these verses in reverse order. We're going to end with verse 11, but we're going to begin with verses 13 to 15. In these verses, John sends a greeting between friends. Again, John sends a greeting between friends. The first thing I'm going to point out is that many of you may be wondering, why does he keep saying verse 15? Many of you, especially if you're looking at the New International Version in front of you, you will see there's just 14 verses in the NIV. Well, I want to encourage you that you're not missing any verses, those of you who simply have 14, but there are a couple different Greek texts, and as you may well know, the numbering system in our Bibles is not inspired. It was added at a different later date to help us in finding various verses. And it's simply a difference between a couple of Greek manuscripts. Some Greek manuscripts have verses 1 through 15. Others have verses 1 through 14. And those that have verses 1 through 14 have simply enveloped verse 15 into verse 14. So you have a larger verse 14 than those that have verse 15. And if you're wondering where the division is, those that have a verse 15, it begins with "peace to you." That is verse 15 in some Greek manuscripts. So this closing that John has in this letter is very similar to the closing of 2 John. He sends greetings to his friend Gaius. The chief difference here being the way he gives this greeting. In 2 John, he says, "The children of your chosen sister send their greetings." Here he says, "Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name." It's a little bit different. That's really the only difference between these two greetings. Why does John use friends here? Why does he not give the similar greeting that he just gave in 2 John, "The children of your chosen sister"? Why the word "friends" in these verses? Well, it's possible that in the early church, they would refer to each other as friends. They would refer to each other as friends in a loving way, as recognizing their union together and their union to Christ. And in this thought comes from Christ himself, when in John 15, verses 13 to 15, Christ says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Christ calls his disciples his friends. And it's possible that the early church took this connotation and used it amongst one another, calling each other friends in this way. But notice in what Christ says, who are his friends? "You are my friends if you do what I command." This calls to mind back in 2 John verses 4 to 6, where John writes there, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing to you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." You are a friend of Christ if you follow his commands. You are a friend of Christ if you walk in the truth, if you live your life according to the Word of God. But what does this word friend mean? Why does God call us His friends? Why does John here give the greeting, the friends here send their greetings, greet the friends there by name? If you look up the word a friend in the Encarta dictionary, it gives five basic definitions of the word friend. A friend is somebody emotionally close to you, or somebody to whom you are emotionally close, someone that you trust, or is fond of, or you are fond of. A friend is also an acquaintance, someone that you think well of, or you are on good terms with. A friend is an ally, or to put it negatively, someone who is not an enemy. A friend is an advocate of a cause, a defender or supporter of a cause or group. A friend can be a patron. Patrons of institutions or organizations are called friends of that institution, and they often receive privileges that others do not. So how are we friends of Christ? How are we united in this common bond of being friends with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He is close to us. He is someone that we trust in, we are fond of. He is someone that we think well of and we are on good terms with. He is an ally. He is not our enemy. He is also our advocate, standing before the judgment seat of God, defending us, His people. And we receive great benefits from and privileges from His friendship, chiefly eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. So when Christ calls us friends, it is really a powerful statement that He is making. He's saying that He is close to us, that He Himself is fond of us. He thinks well of us and is on good terms with us. He thinks of Himself as our ally. He's claiming to be our advocate. And He, in a sense, is our patron and receives great benefits from it. I can remember one time when I was in junior high, I had the wonderful privilege of going to see a movie with a friend of mine, a good friend of mine from school and church, on our own. My mom dropped us off, and she went walking around the mall while this friend of mine and I got to see a movie that we wanted to see. I think it was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But after the movie, we had some time to kill, and we were just walking around. And there was another couple of kids about our age who took notice of us. And they came over and they actually started to ridicule us and try to cause a problem. Now, you may not guess by looking at me today, but I was a rather small child. Especially in junior high, I was the smallest boy in school. So I was thankful that I had my good friend with me who was a good head taller than I was. There was a great comfort there of having my friend stand beside me. And nothing happened. We didn't get into a fight. You don't need to worry about that. They went on their merry way when they knew that we wouldn't succumb to their trying to entice us. But it was a great comfort to have that friend there as those who were accusing us stood before us. And this is a great comfort that we can have knowing that Christ calls us His friends. And Christ is not only our Lord and Savior, our King, but by His own testimony, He is our friend. And He stands by us as the chief accuser of God's people, Satan himself, accuses us. But one thing to realize that we will be in this life either friends of good or friends of evil. You will be a friend of either good or evil. The question is, will you be a friend of what is good, Christ Himself, or a friend of what is evil, pretty much everything else? Only in Christ can we be saved. Only in Christ can we have salvation. Only in His friendship can we be secure. Now, in our second point, John, moving back to verse 12, gives a positive example of what is good in this Demetrius. John gives us a positive example of what is good in Demetrius. Now, these verses come immediately after John talks about Diotrephes and the one who loves to be first and who has refused John's warning. He has refused to listen to the Apostle John in the letter that he sent. And by contrast, he is the evil example that we have before us. Diotrephes being the evil example, but here in verse 12 we have Demetrius, who is a positive example of what is good. This is the only place that this Demetrius is mentioned. This is the only verse that we have recorded of him. Some speculate that when Paul talks about Demas in Colossians, that this could be Demetrius, as Demas was a shortened nickname version of Demetrius. But there's really nothing to support that. This is really the only place we learn of this Demetrius. And what John gives here of this Demetrius is a threefold testimony. A threefold testimony of this man walking in the truth. The first testimony that we have is that he is spoken well of by everyone. We don't really know who John means by everyone, but it's safe to assume that this everyone is everyone that John knows in their circle. Demetrius was most likely a man that John had sent to Gaius and carried the letter that John had sent to him. And so John is giving Gaius a recommendation to receive this Demetrius. In so doing, he says that he is spoken of well by everyone. He also states that in his third testimony, that John himself speaks well of this Demetrius, adding that you know that our testimony is true. So we have everyone speaks well of Demetrius, and John himself speaks well of him. And at the center of this, we have an interesting phrase by John. It says that even by the truth itself, or the truth bears witness or speaks well of this Demetrius. How does the truth speak well of Demetrius? When I was working at Starbucks, I was a shift supervisor there. They have these people called secret shoppers. Starbucks is not alone in having these secret shoppers, but what these secret shoppers do is that they have a criteria that Starbucks gives them, and they come into your store. You don't know who they are. And they sit, they order a drink, and they sit in your store for a while and watch things that go on. And they rate you. There are a couple different scales. And what your goal is to have your store receive 5 stars and 100%. I mean, you may get many stars, but a low percentage, or you may get a high percentage, but very few stars. And what they base it on is, are people going out and cleaning the cafe on a regular basis? Are customers' needs being met? Are drinks being done within a certain time range? Are empty tables wiped down and clear of debris? Is the condiment bar free of milk and sugar that is spilled all over the place? Is the pastry case all in nice, perfect order? Are there crumbs all over the place? You see, there is a criteria that Starbucks has. And these secret shoppers come and they judge your store by it. And if you happen to get a 5-star and 100%, what that is saying is that Starbucks criteria that they give you, the truth of Starbucks, in a sense, is speaking well of your store. You've met their criteria. You've met all the little nuances of what your store is to look like, how you're to conduct yourself, how you're to treat the customer. These standards that Starbucks has, you've met them. And so the standards that Starbucks has is speaking well of your store in this score that you have given. Well, God doesn't use a scorecard sheet with His people. For through the work of Christ, that record of sin and our debt was nailed to the cross and done away with. But the truth speaks well of us and testifies of us when we walk according to it. when out of thankfulness in our hearts we listen and we obey our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, our King, our friend. And we follow His commandments. And as we live our life in line with God's Word, His truth, obeying His commands to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, which sum up His Word, the truth speaks well of us. And the truth testifies that we are walking in the truth. And so Demetrius is an example of what is good because he walked according to the truth. He walked according to the Word of God. He was an example put forth by John because he was living his life according to what God had set before him. What God has set before all of us in His Word. And this brings us to verse 11. Verse 11 begins with John reminding his friend to imitate what is good, not evil. To imitate what is good, not evil. When I was in elementary school, or beginning in elementary school, is when Joe Montana, one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, was in his prime. He's in the prime of his career. And for those of you who are too young to know who Joe Montana is, just think of Peyton Manning now. No one could beat Joe Montana. He was flawless as a quarterback. So on the playground, when we would play football, I, of course, wanted to be Joe Montana. I would be the quarterback. I was Joe Montana. You see, I wanted to imitate what was good. As we played football, I wanted to imitate and be like someone who excelled in this position and was quite good. And this is something that our world recognizes. Of course, we're to follow what is good. Follow good examples that you have. If you want to be good at something, follow those who excel and do what they do. This is what John is saying to Gaius. To follow what is good. Imitate what is good. Follow this Demetrius. One of the things we have to ask ourselves is, why is John encouraging Gaius in this? In fact, just earlier in his short letter to him, he praises Gaius himself for doing what was good, for walking in the truth. Well, after just giving the example of Diotrephes and the evil example that he represents, John is balancing out the examples. There is some cause of concern in John's eyes that perhaps this Gaius could be swayed by this Diotrephes and to cease doing what he had been doing and what John was praising him for. So he sets this Demetrius before him as an example. This brings to mind Christ's teaching in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 20. If you'd like, you can turn with me there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 20. Jesus here is teaching, and actually beginning in verse 15, Jesus teaches, and he says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." This is what Jesus is teaching. By your fruit, you will recognize them. As we recognize a healthy and productive tree by the good fruit that it produces, and vice versa, so too, we will recognize false teachers or those who are not walking according to the truth by the fruit that they produce. Again, this ties into what Jesus teaches in John 15, Him being the true vine and we His branches. You know, those who are grafted into the true vine will produce the good fruit that that vine was meant to produce. So we are to seek out those who are godly examples in our life, who walk according to the truth, and imitate them. That is what John is commanding us here this morning. How do we imitate what is good? Well, there are three ways that we can imitate what is good. One is by, may seem very obvious, reading God's Word itself. Reading through God's Word, looking at those who have gone before us, seeing how they lived their life, also seeing how they fell short. Because this is one of the beautiful things about God's Word, is that it does not hide all the warts of His people, but shows us their shortcomings and shows us that it is only by His strength that we can live a life in accordance to His truth. Another way that we can have godly examples to imitate is by reading biographies of godly people. Read biographies of those saints who have gone before us, who have had a good reputation in following the truth. Just because my wife whispered his name in my ear in Sunday school this morning, Jim Elliot is one example. Hudson Taylor is another example. Elizabeth Elliot, Jim Elliot's wife, is a good example. Reading biographies of those who have lived godly lives and seeing how the Lord worked in their lives. But one way to imitate what is good and to put a good example in front of us is one that affects our lives every day. And that is our relationships. Children, if you have godly parents, follow them. I know in our day and age, parents are held up as uncool. They're not with it. But if they're godly parents, follow them. Don't listen to the world's interpretation of what parents are, but listen to Scripture as those who have gone before you and have experienced life and can be a great benefit. But also our friendships. And this is for any age. Our friends can affect our lives in ways that we can't even comprehend. This is true for any age in life, but especially true for young people. We need to be careful of our friends and who our friends are, because they will have an impact in our life, whether we realize it or not. Because we don't realize it, but we do hold our friends in high esteem. Why else would we hang out with them? We look up to them. And we will, in one way or another, imitate them. So it is important that we have godly friends that we hold close to ourselves. And so, brothers and sisters, John writes and gives this closing greeting of his letter to Gaius. And in so doing, in calling us to remember, is that we are friends. We are friends of one another. We are united to Christ, who, by his own testimony, is our friend. He encourages us and tells us to put before us good examples. Good examples of godly men and women that we can imitate. We can follow in their footsteps. And our chief example is our Lord and Savior himself. Reading through the Gospels, seeing how he interacted with people, how he lived his life, how he faced temptation, how he led the perfect life, and to seek to imitate and follow him. For he is our chief friend. He is close to us. We are to trust in him. He is our ally in the face of all of our enemies, chiefly in the face of sin that we battle day in and day out. He is our advocate, defending us against the attacks of the evil one. So, brothers and sisters, heed John's admonition and warning to his dear friend Gaius to live your life imitating what is good, setting godly examples before you and following them. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for this very practical admonition by John to his dear friend Gaius. May we take seriously, Lord, this admonition, and Lord, may we seek out godly examples in our lives that we can follow. May we, Lord, may you provide, Lord, friends, godly friends that we can hold on to and interact with. May we, Lord, read and recall those who have gone before us, who have fought the good fight of faith, and their biographies of godly men and women who have used, whom you have used in the past. And Lord, above all, may we be deep in your word, reading your truth, looking at the chief example that we have to follow, that is you, yourself, Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may we, Father, put these principles to work in our lives and imitate what is good and not the evil around us. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen. Thank you.